Okay, sweet success, making peace with sugar and your health. So in this episode, Making Peace with Sugar and Your Health delves into the complex relationship between sugar consumption and overall health. It explores how our modern diets have become inundated with added sugars, leading to a host of health issues such as obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. So I often hear from my clients and individuals on social media who announce their determination to cut out sugar completely. They believe that this is the root of their weight issues and other problems in their lives, and they commit wholeheartedly to making a change. So this typically lasts for a few days or weeks, then fades away without any further updates or actual changes occurring. I've encountered people who say they have cut sugar from their diet and they feel fantastic. Since making this change a year ago, for example, and they talk about clearer skin, weight loss, and highlight how good they feel, almost seeming to convince others rather than genuinely express their feelings. Their constant focus on sugar leaves me concerned about the impact of this restriction on their overall health. So this has happened a few times when I've spoken to people that have decided to cut sugar completely out of their life, and it consumes the conversation. And that is just something that is not really something that we want to be doing. So I personally have a complex relationship myself with sugar. Growing up in the 80s, my exposure to sugar was really limited for the first decade of my life. However, everything shifted around the age of 10 when the influence of the low-fat trend began affecting my aunts, my mother, and her friends, essentially, to be honest, all the women in my life. So they became fixated on low-fat products and group exercise, which is a topic I plan to delve into further in up-and-coming podcasts, group exercise. So when I began secondary school, I was thrilled to find vending machines around every corner. So you're talking 1990s, early, very, like, very early, 1990, basically. So I was about 11. But as a teen, left to my own devices, I found myself consuming sugar excessively. It was a crucial time for my body, yet I was indulging in sugar under the misconception that since it was fat-free, it was harmless. And that was drummed everywhere. So little did we know the devastation it was causing to our changing, growing bodies, not to mention our mental health. So many times I used to indulge in cherry coke and fruit pastels just before lesson, which would send my energy levels through the roof. Looking back, I realised I was literally buzzing from the sugar. I wasn't just naughty, which led to me being frequently asked to leave the classroom and work in the corridor because I couldn't stay still or shut up. So I wasn't the only one affected by this, but I have to admit that sugar had a significant negative impact on me. So without a doubt, today I would have likely been diagnosed with some sort of disorder without considering the clear link between my diet and my behaviour. And that's another subject for another day. So many of us used to go back to class while we were munching on sweets, with the teachers often having low-fat snacks on their desks. It was an absolute disaster waiting to happen, and now many individuals in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s and even 80s are dealing with the effects of this invasion of low-fat, high-sugar processed foods. So during dinner time, a saving grace was the assortment of substantial meals prepared by the seasoned in-house cooks. So thank goodness for the traditional dinner ladies who had been cooking long before our arrival in the morning. So this offered an alternative to sugary options, providing a more balanced meal choice. But frequently due to consuming sweets, I didn't feel hungry, perpetuating this cycle of eating the shit and not eating nutrients. So adding to this, the trend in the 90s was to be thin. So no one questioned it. Discussions about overall health and food were scarce. Weight loss was only mentioned in the context of becoming thinner. So you can trace back my early connection with sugar to my upbringing at home, where we had decent evening meals of whole foods. However, with the rise of processed foods in the 90s, our fridge, like everyone else's, had become filled with these products, and we were deceived. So deceived, it's an absolute understatement. So back in the days when internet access, without internet access, awareness about the risks of the sugar consumption and the vilification of fats was limited, and we were confused. So except for those well-informed individuals, interestingly, the individuals who avoided sugar and embraced the fats were often viewed as peculiar. So during the 90s and 2000s, peer influence was strong among teenagers, and diet culture had a firm hold on society. So inevitably, when I turned 15, I received a diagnosis of PCOS without much explanation. So that is polycystic ovary syndrome. The hospital staff bluntly informed me, and bear in mind I was 15 years old, about it, and mentioned the likelihood of infertility. So I was left to process this news on my own without any further details or even an understanding of what PCOS stood for. And I will be talking about PCOS and our diet connection in other episodes. But looking back, I realised that my health issues were a result of my poor sugar-filled diet and lack of essential nutrients. It wasn't a coincidence. And at that time, I was unsure how to react or comprehend the information given to me, and I didn't immediately link it to my diet, obviously, for decades. Like, even after I had my kids, I didn't even, in my 20s, I didn't even link it to my diet, because it was never, I mean, even now we get stuff and when it's not linked to the diet. So I was never severely overweight. But when I turned 17 and started driving, my diet took a turn for the worse. So despite being told I looked great, I knew I was overweight and I felt awful. Carrying an extra 2 stone on my 5'3" frame, and the magazines were sending conflicting messages about body image constantly, not only to teens, but to all of us, like my mum and my aunts and my mum's friends and everything. They were always dieting. It was really sad. So I carried it well due to my athletic background, and I was always sporty, but I was suffering physically and emotionally. The root cause was my deep connection with diet culture, rather than laziness or overeating sugar. So after I finished school, I attended cosmetology school, where the pressure to maintain a slim figure was overwhelming. Numerous girls I knew struggled with eating disorders, opting for low fat, high sugar diets, which was quite perplexing. Even while working at a gym, the influence of diet culture was prevalent, affecting us from all directions. So I began my holistic health journey in my late 20s to early 30s. But breaking away from diet culture has been a decade-long process, and it's continuing to this day. Simply giving up on sugar might not be the solution, and it's common to feel conflicted about making the right choice with all the misinformation out there, the challenge lies in understanding what perpetuates this cycle for you. It's often not just sugar itself, but the influence of diet culture and its grip on us all. So personally, I am still caught up in diet culture, despite possessing considerable knowledge on the subject, as it has been intertwined with various aspects of my life for many years, and it's not easy to get out of. So cutting out sugar entirely is not the solution, and there are other ways that are sustainable long term. So to begin understanding your motivation, your why, is crucial. Simply embarking on a sugar-cutting mission without delving into your relationship with it can lead to a quick derailment. Additionally, seeking support from professionals is key when aiming to lose weight and modify your diet. But I totally understand that. Obviously, many professionals still are trapped in diet culture themselves, and they haven't got that awareness of how the cycle is perpetuating. So finding someone that is knowledgeable about the effect of diet culture is a key, really, when looking for someone to help you lose weight sustainably. So I understand how difficult it can be to face this, as we all strive to feel better and escape pain swiftly. So reflecting on my experience with sugar, perhaps you can now begin to contemplate that your own journey and how it has become such a significant aspect of your life, and how it's impacted the way you feel about sugar and stuff now. So I hold numerous memories connected to my sugar intake, especially the wonderful memories of rushing to the ice cream truck, enjoying sweets with friends in the summer, and savouring cake on special occasions. Like many toxic relationships, it's not all bad, and that's the problem, because we do have such a really, you know, there's such a good side of it. So there must be valid reasons why you turn to cake and biscuits. So listen to your feelings and recognize that having the choice is more beneficial than depriving yourself of that comfort completely. So we don't have to completely eliminate sugar all at once to improve our overall health. There are several strategies we can adopt to break the cycle of starting and stopping, which can be detrimental to both our physical and mental health if we keep doing that. So completely cutting something out abruptly never leads to long-term success. In fact, we have attempted this approach multiple times over the years, and it has proven to be ineffective, hasn't it? So in my practice, I assist numerous individuals, over 40 mostly, in taking charge of their overall health. I do work with other ages, but most of my practice is over 40, and emphasising that restriction is never, ever part of this journey. So I want to share a change I made at home over the past 6 months. When my youngest child began secondary school, I realised she was buying a lot of sweets. Just like I did, with her newfound freedom, and with sweets being easily accessible at her school. And I'm telling you now, it's even worse than the 90s, because they have no access within school for a substantial meal to counteract it. So the menu is absolutely horrific, and I'm absolutely appalled what they are serving, to be honest. But I will speak on that another day, because it needs addressing. And with the corner shops on the way home filled with affordable treats, it's become a habit for her and her friends to indulge. I also found myself indulging more in sweets she brought home, being a huge fan of sweets, chocolate and crisps myself, and the fact they were in my face, I started to struggle. I had to do something without restricting her or myself completely, as she had got more freedom now, and I know that restriction is not the key. And I wanted her to have her own autonomy to make decisions for her whole health. Okay, so I decided I would open a tuck shop within the house. I've always loved playing shop, so this was really fun actually. I have a spare cupboard within my bedroom and I purchased a lock, a coded lock. It's like a long cupboard in my bedroom. And I filled it with crisps, sweets, chocolate, etc. from Costco and other places. I priced them all up. And everyone had a choice of what went in and their favourite goodies. And hear me out, because this sounds, I know this sounds like a disaster, but hear me out, because it actually been one of the best things I've done for them and myself surrounding this sugar issue and how it's everywhere around us. So I open the shop twice a day, allowing anyone interested to make a purchase. And if they miss it, I'm sorry, tough cheddar. The funds are then transferred to a designated section in my account. Since my kids are older, they easily send over the money. I suppose if you had younger kids, you could do it with cash. I noticed a decrease in consumption, partly because we now carefully consider if we truly need anything. And when everyone's, you know, actually realising, oh, I've got to send that amount over, you know, it's easier than just going in the shop with your card. So that's the essence of intuitive eating kicking in. It was a win-win too, as all the money was coming straight back into the household and some of the profits have gone on other luxuries that are not food related. So in the school holidays, it has become empty and no one has asked to get it restocked. So when we take restriction out of things, eventually we do start listening intuitively to what we truly want. I will be restocking before school starts and I will carry this on now for another 6 months and probably even longer because of the positive impact it's had on us. This is not going to be for everyone, but you can see that there is so much more we can do than just stop eating sugar. I ensure that my cupboards and fridge at home are filled with whole foods that are readily available for use at any time of the day or night. And sugary drinks are also stored in the snack shop, where I buy the 150 mini versions, but very few of them have been purchased. And I noticed that more cooking is being carried out rather than reaching for a snack because of the smaller window that they can get them. Obviously, the kids could buy from the shops, the local shops too, when they are out. But to be honest, it hasn't happened because I think they know that they are benefiting more from it coming back into the house. So I hope you enjoyed this episode and it's enabled you to see how cutting and restricting ourselves isn't always the answer to our whole health problems and that there are other ways to create sustainable changes intuitively and ease ourselves into habit change. So I am a certified health and wellness and nutrition coach and a yoga teacher, breath coach, and my obvious background in cosmetology. Additionally, I am on my way to becoming a personal trainer and I have a integrative health clinic in Manchester, Cheshire, and I have clinics in Salehill and Altrincham. I am eager to hear from you and assist you on your path to complete well-being. Until next time, take care. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can find more information about what has been discussed in the show notes and on my website, complexhealthcoach.uk. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave a comment or review, and I will see you in the next.